From beach towels to tea towels and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. You're with Mike Ryan on today's News Talk Radio. TNT. TNT.
Now, that's me. That was our invisible news bulletin. I can hear this snoring in the background. Maybe not. That's just a visit to the pub does that to you. I can see Jaden and all the guys in the newsroom doing that. James O'Neill out with his Chardonnay, having a virtual Chardonnay because he's in the States. Okay, Liz Truss. She's doing a trust Liz? No. She's already less popular than the disgraced Johnson, according to the latest poll. British Prime Minister Liz Truss's personal approval rating is lower than that of her predecessor Boris Johnson's right before he was forced to resign this year, a recent Opinion Observer poll has shown. That's my English accent. I could have been one of the royals, you know. No, I couldn't have. I don't like little children. Anyway, according to the survey of 2,000 people, which was conducted, Joe Biden likes sniffing young girls' hair, that is, which was conducted between September 28 and 30 and released on Saturday. Only 18% of Britons approve the job Truss is doing and 55% disapprove. I mean, maybe she could actually have a chat to Boris and decide on how to really make her life hell. Now, this places her net approval at minus 37, down from minus 9 a week ago, which is worse than the minus 28 that Johnson had in the final opinion poll before he stepped down as the Tory leader in July. Okay. Also, homeowners, by the way, will be slugged in Australia with hundreds of dollars extra in mortgage repayments as another nightmare rate hike hits. The RBA, instead of doing 0.50%, they did 0.25%. It's the sixth rate rise since May and takes interest rates from a record low of 0.1% to 2.6%. Which is pretty interesting. The Australian homeowners also could be scrambling to find an extra $1,000 to $2,100 to make their monthly mortgage payments or repayments with chilling predictions. Chilling, I love that. It's not that chilling. You just got to learn to. I mean, in my day, we had a 17%. That's when I had a cave. I'm that old. You know, with chilling predictions, interest rates could skyrocket above 6% next year. And you got to ask yourself, what's going to happen when all those fixed rates, as one of my chief economists, Tim, told me, that they are going to all end next year, and from like a 1% or, you know, almost a 0% interest rate, they've got to start paying 6%. It'll be not happy eating at the dinner table, let me tell you that. So that's a couple of the things that are making news around the world in Britain with Liz Truss, or Truss, not Trust, but Trust to Liz, no, and in Australia. If you're a battler and you've done your bit to buy a home, it's going to be a lot harder to keep hold of it. And apparently the part of the housing industry, the chunk that's being hit is the middle income earners. They're the ones that are finding it hard. The elite haven't got a problem buying their penthouse or their rather large ponderosa backyard house in some leafy suburb. But the ones that are just like you and I, the normal people, I mean, we're not that normal, but the ones that are working very hard to try and keep hold of their $500,000 home, which is probably $250,000 overpriced, they're going to have trouble, and it's going to be a very, very scary future for many Australians throughout 2023.
It's the stuff.
What citizen wouldn't want to make American great again?
People are talking about.
Vilifying MAGA, it's just not going to work.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Now, the New South Wales government has fast-tracked the world's first mRNA vaccines for foot and mouth disease and lumpy skin disease, inking a deal with US biotechnology company Teva Biotech. And I'm just thinking vaccines for foot and mouth disease, they'd have to do the first shipment probably to Canberra. And lumpy skin disease, Maybe that would eliminate a few politicians. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Now, Jeremy Beck is one of our fabulous news producers. He's on everywhere, fills in, does a great job. He's the jack of all trades and a master of many. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Mike.
Now, why the rush given the mRNA technology is still experimental and the past year's unprecedented numbers of adverse reactions for the mRNA COVID injections?
Yeah, I think it's a worry because we already know the mRNA technology is new. We've had an experience of a couple of years or nearly 2 years of the injections now and with disastrous results. Now, they're planning this for animals. They're saying in the New South Wales government that this will protect our $28.7 billion livestock industry. There was a statement put out by Deputy Premier and Minister for Regional New South Wales, Paul Toole. And this is the statement that he said. He said, "I have now written to the vaccine manufacturers to take up my challenge to develop both vaccines ready for use and manufacture in New South Wales by the 1st of August next year."
Oh, the guy's a real tool.
Yeah. Now, the 1st of August next year. Now, vaccines do take normally decades to produce and test and make sure that they do work properly. We already know that these mRNA vaccines or gene therapies or whatever you want to call them, they are extremely problematic now. Maybe they might be able to hone in the technology in decades to come and make some good use of them. But right now, I think it's something you would not want to fast track. It just makes no sense to me at all, but they're doing it anyway. Mm. I don't think this is coming from government. I think this is actually coming from big business and governments in there saying that they are egging on industry to push this further along. I don't buy that for 1 minute.
I'm just thinking, though, Jeremy, if they do the mRNA vaccines for foot and mouth disease, which should be for Canberra, first of all, but if they do that, I'm just thinking, how will that affect our export market? Because if we kick it off, we're the first ones to try it. I really can't see many countries saying, "Oh, let's try that. Maybe it won't affect us." I mean, if you eat the meat of something that's been poisoned, you're going to get poisoned. So it would decimate our industry, wouldn't it?
I am generally concerned about that. That was actually one of my thoughts today, because with some of the knowledge that we have in the human trials, which there's still trials now with the mRNA technology, which just about everyone's taken here in Australia, sadly.
Not me.
But nonetheless, it's not me. But look, we do know there is evidence that the mother's milk can spread some sort of a substance, which is a product of this mRNA injection, to the baby. We've seen peer-reviewed literature on this subject. Now, if that's the case, what if we are drinking cow's milk that has been jabbed with one of these mRNA jabs, which has gone badly wrong? Who knows? I don't know. I'm not qualified to answer that question, but I do know that many people have, who are very qualified, and they've raised the alarm bells on the human trials, and they've been just pushed out of the equation. So where does that leave our export for meats, as you say, in a very troubling situation, I would imagine?
I wouldn't be drinking that milk from the cows that glow in the dark, let me tell you that part. But it's a scary thing, because it will, I mean, not just milk, but for the beef industry, if you inject them, it's going to be in the whole system. And if you start eating or ingesting from an infected or a poisoned substance, for example, a cow or a bull or whatever, you're going to take it in, as you mentioned, the breast milk. I mean, those that have had the injection for the COVID vaccine whilst pregnant, which is not you, but others, it means then that the baby, and they've shown that the baby is actually the transfer from the mother to the child or to the unborn child is quite evident. So if they're going to start shooting up stuff into the food that we eat, question, just then I thought of it, is it to stop you from eating, you know, red meat? Does it play into the hands of people like Bill Gates?
Good question, because there is a push to drive to have us eating insects, and certainly I don't want to go down that path. I do know that meat and pretty much everything with protein costs a lot of money. Cheese costs a lot of money. Nuts, they're not cheap. And if you're destroying one of the best sources of protein, meat, red meat or white meat, chicken, what have you, that is a big problem. And I just think it's a real problem when they're pushing it so fast. I don't have a problem if they want to test this technology over the next decade and do lots and lots of trials on small numbers of animals, fine, and perfect the technology. But to have this big rush, it stinks. It really does. Mm. And the industry, they're saying that, oh, don't worry, it's very, very safe. Of course they would, because they're standing to make big, big money from it. And I understand the Bill and Melinda Gates have a relationship with this company, which is not surprising. The co-founder of Tibber, Peter McGrath, he said, our next generation RNA technology is able to safely and efficiently deliver vaccines to both human and animal health needs and has demonstrated more practical storage requirements than existing RNA technologies. Oh. Now, of course he would.
A lot of bull.
Yeah, so I really just think it's just a crazy system where they're just pushing it through so fast. Why?
Yeah, that's the question. I mean, it's all to do with financial return, and also maybe another ulterior motive, which is sort of floating in the clouds at this stage. But we could explore that at other times. What are the claims for safety, though? They're saying that it's safe. How do they know?
Well, that's the thing. We haven't had years of data. You know, here they are pushing for not just being ready, but ready for use in a year's time. I mean, that does not make sense. So you've got a whole lot of people who really, I don't know how qualified they are. You've got the New South Wales Minister for Agriculture. He's Dougald Saunders. And he said
what's his name?
Dougald Saunders.
God.
Dougald. Dougald, maybe.
Dougald. Or not Dougald. And you've got Mr. Tool.
And Dougald Saunders, he said it's critical for Australia to develop mRNA vaccines quickly and as quickly as possible, as if, you know, the threat's on our doorstep next Tuesday. But we haven't had foot and mouth disease outbreaks in Australia for over a century. So what's the rush?
So what is the risk, though, of foot and mouth disease in Australia, by the way?
Well, that's the thing, is it's not a high risk, really. I mean, it could be potentially serious, but the history is that we've dealt with it for over a century without any major outbreaks. So, you know, the last significant outbreak was in 1872. So, and that was in Victoria. So really there's no big rush to push through experimental technology. So Saunders said, because they are fully synthetic and do not require any animal or microbial products, they do not carry the same risks as traditionally derived vaccines.
Yeah. Tell the people that died from the COVID vaccines.
That's my question. How can he say just because they're synthetic, that makes them safe? You know, just because it's not an animal product. Well, what sort of logic is that? It does not make any sense at all.
I just had a thought then. Also, what regulations would prevent them from doing this? Can they just go ahead and do it and then plonk it on the shelves and Coles and Woolies for the Australian market and overseas? Do they have to go through a process to get it verified and considered safe before it goes out there, or can they just go ahead and do it?
Well, if it's anything like the process of the Therapeutics Goods Administration with the rollout of these experimental jabs, it's not looking good. I don't know for sure what the process is in the livestock industry for approval of these products, but I would have thought, if they're in such a rush to push this out, it doesn't look promising.
I'm just thinking also, serious question, foot and mouth disease, if it does provide protection, do you think the first recipients should be the TGA?
Well,
they're great at putting their foot in their mouth.
Yeah. I mean, they really should take their own medicine. Unfortunately, a lot of them probably believe their own propaganda, and that's why they've just got their head in the sand. They don't want to know anything wrong, hear no evil, see no evil, because at the end of the day, a lot of them have taken these jabs themselves, and they might feel fine, and they might be fine, but they might have some blood clot that's there, one of those little micro clots, which they don't feel any different, but it might, who knows what it's going to do sometime down in a few months' time. Who knows? It's all experimental.
I see a lot of clots in Parliament House. But there's no remedy for that. Just don't vote them in. So it's interesting times. I would like to think that this won't go any further. We've had others on before talking about foot and mouth disease in Australia. And truly, it's coming from someone who sits in an office probably in North Sydney, not understanding the rural sector and that the farmers are not stupid. This is a very highly invested industry. Doesn't need the whackers sitting in North Sydney or in Toorak in Melbourne or Canberra telling them how to run their property. We just need to be sensible. Jeremy Beck, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Mike.
This is TNT Radio.
You should hear what George Eliason is talking about.
The referendum in Donbass is one of the most important happenings in the world today. Ukraine is saying that this is farcical, that they want their territory, that Russia's stealing their people again. And yet, in the last week, just in Donetsk, Ukraine killed almost 30 people, and it included a prenatal hospital as a target. Now, the HIMARS, these targets are approved by the U.S. government. So when Sergei Lavrov is saying that the U.S. and the EU and anyone supporting Australia isn't neutral, they're providing targeting information or approving the targets. This is pregnant women having babies or getting ready to have babies. That's a legitimate target. This is the country that wants this land and these people back. That's not what it's about.
George Eliason on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When the forgotten poor are suffering and in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, the largest floating civilian hospital in the world, with volunteer medical staff and crew who donate their time to save lives. Heroes of mercy, like these.
Every human being has the right to be treated as human, to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the look in the patient's eyes or the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
We bring hope and healing to one person, but that person belongs to a family, and that family belongs to a community.
Together, these heroes of mercy and friends like you bring hope and healing to those who desperately need it.
Thank you! Thank you!
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org today.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation donated more than $310 million to mainstream media. We don't tell the story that Bill Gates wants you to know. We tell the real story. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Now, what's happening on the global front? A lot. And there is a flood of propaganda on Ukraine, as per usual. And why would you believe any of the propaganda, any of the media reports, after what they did with COVID? Yet people still do. They just believe that garbage that comes out every day, every second of the day. Omar Khan is a global consultant who has advised clients in the US, UK, Europe, South America, South Africa, the Middle East, Pluto, Southeast Asia, faraway galaxies, Asia Pacific and Australia on leadership responses to opportunities and crises. His firm EPL Global seeks to convey better information for better decision-making. Now, Omar's blog can be found at uncommonwisdom.online. Omar also writes a regular column for Daily FT, which can be found on ft.lk. First of all, Omar, it's lovely to catch up with you again.
Yes, well, you've been on the run. And
I have.
Jeremy and I have been doing our best to hold the fort.
I'm not jealous at all. We'll make sure,
well,
Jeremy.
I don't know what you might have been up to.
No, you two have been just setting the world on fire, and I thought, you know, you're getting very comfortable. I have to push Jeremy to the back blocks. He's just far too good for my liking. No, he's done a great job, and really appreciate it. Look, some of the international banks are in trouble, in particular Credit Suisse. Now, expected after years of low interest rates and exploding debt, and with Credit Suisse, they've also had a few scandals in their time, from Yakuza to Nigerian warlords. What do you think the future is for them?
Well, I think they're the canary in the mine, right? I mean, everybody thought that we could pull this crap and there would be nothing, that you'd ever have to deal with. And that's why when, you know, this happened in Sri Lanka, people got very worried because they thought, again, is this the first domino to fall? So, you know, Credit Suisse is the number two Swiss bank, one of the largest banks in the world. I mean, as we all know. And a negative outcome there could be akin to Lehman Brothers in September 2008. And we all know where that took us. Credit Suisse, a year ago, what the market cap was, $22 billion. Today, it's $10 billion. So the shares fell 56%. 0.2% in 1 year.
Wow.
And, you know, this was a bank which had weathered the earlier financial crisis without much happening. And now it's in free fall. And the default swaps, the CDSs, have risen in recent days. And, it's a talent is leaving. They're not renewing contractors. They've lost senior people. And when anybody says, well, gee, how did this happen? Well, you and I know that, right? I mean, you don't shut the planet off and keep printing money and think that there will be no consequences.
I'm just thinking, looking at Credit Suisse, I mean, we know the banks, yeah, do have a dark side to it, but Credit Suisse, I mean, this is some of the things I was talking to Martin North about before. In 1986, they were one of the scandals, fake names for Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos with the 10,000 shoes. In 1999, the Tokyo shredding party. 2000, Sani Abaka, who's the Nigerian military leader, who stole millions and millions and millions of dollars from his own country and people. Of course, you go to your friendly bank. In 2004, the Yakuza. And in 2019, for example, the Bulgarian cocaine. So there's a fairly interesting cross-section of customers there. Why would first of all, how do these banks still stay in business? Because if it was a smaller company or even a larger company that had some very concerned shareholders, I mean, just one of those should send you into the never-never. But there's just this continuance of bucking the system and doing some very, very scary things with bad organizations' funds.
Well, you know, here's the interesting thing. The problem with Credit Suisse basically focuses around the investment bank. The Swiss bank in itself has its issues, but, you know, what happened in 2008, as you recall, what Lehman Brothers was going through, everybody was going through. Now, Credit Suisse is a universal bank for additional services and products, but it is the investment bank which has put them in difficulties. And the investment bank, if you recall, they had successive scandals, as you've very nicely detailed. But in 2021, Greensill, British company, supply chain and accounts receivables lender, specializes in lending money to companies so they can pay their suppliers, then packages the debts into securities, or maybe insecurities in this case. But when they looked at it, the real value of the debts were horribly overstated, as Greensill had to file for bankruptcy. And there were $10 billion invested from Credit Suisse. And then the Archegos Capital Management of the South Korean investor based in New York, of course, my old hometown, Bill Hwang, insider trading allegations. And again, he convinced he managed $10 billion. And here's your question. He convinced banks. But how do you convince them to lend him $30 billion against $10
billion?
Mm. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, you and I, we could find such a bank. I'll meet you on that street corner. And we'll take a bag and say, here's $1,000. Can I have $10 million against that? It's crazy. But how these other banks cause this ruckus, you're right. Any other company would not be allowed. So that's why years ago we called this socialism for the rich and capitalism for the poor.
But it is interesting, isn't it? It's very interesting. I'm just thinking Bill Hwang, was he a did he have a software company?
Yeah,
because they were in Australia, and it was very interesting. They soon exited after their slogan, because they were wanting to create the impression that they actually cared about their consumer. And the thing, because you know what Australians are like, we're quite irreverent when it comes to things of sensitive natures. But their logo was Wang Cares.
Yeah.
And the way Australians say things, it came out wanker. And it was
right.
And then he departed, or that company departed. So it's interesting that not only was he not a good businessman, he had a very, very bad marketing department that didn't know the Australian language or people's languages all that well. What about in Australia, though? The RBA has unveiled a record-breaking sixth interest rate hike in a row, just like around the world. How does it affect an economy when the interest rates rise?
Well, you know, what happens is, of course, nobody can plan. Nobody can predict. The value of your investments suddenly change. All your planning goes, as I said, straight out the window. And that the fact that it keeps happening in a knee-jerk way shows that the people doing it have no idea. This is just like someone popping another pill. Well, that didn't get rid of my brain tumor. Let me throw another aspirin. It's like, well, maybe you're taking the wrong medicine. And, you know, you see this. I mean, in Australia, it's interest rate hikes. In the UK, they had to remove this tax cut that they were proposing off the wealthy that had sent the pound into free fall. And then the moment they had, then, you know, the pound sort of stabilized again. And you ask yourself, who thought that what you do at this moment is that persistently apply a tax cut for the wealthy? And, you know, who told you to do that? I mean, what economic theory were you following?
I think the problem is they obviously thought that through over the third bottle of red. But the optics of it. And you got the poor buggers who have no energy. Food is getting harder and harder to get. heading towards winter, and yet we have tax breaks for the elite. It doesn't go down well, does it?
No, especially, and I don't know if it's time to take a break at your end or not, but let me get this out, and then you can tell us we go on or come back. But people are watching Funny Money. At the same time as this is happening, $650,000 has just been awarded to study bat coronaviruses and assess their ability to infect humans from the NIH to Peter Daszak. While people are hemorrhaging cash, companies are going, you know, bust, and they've given this to their so-called nonprofit to do another round of
$650,000 or $650 million. What was it? $650,000?
Only $650,000 so far. Thousand.
Wow.
It's a big slap in the face to everyone who's questioned the pandemic's origins. Mm. And, you know, it's not just now everybody has looked in that direction. Mm. You know, it's come out that it's likely there was lab manipulation. It wasn't just some stray bat in a wet market. Mm. But what do you do? And why do you do it? Because you want to find another. You want to find some other front, right?
Yep.
That's my whole belief, is that the reason they need to do it is that if they could have the threat of a lab-made supervirus, then we can get all the proles to say, yes, sir, three bags full.
And on that note, we'll go to the news. This is TNT Radio.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Poland is playing with fire by reopening old wounds with Germany, formally demanding $1.2 trillion in compensation from Berlin for damages caused in World War II. It's been revealed 32 children were among 125 people trampled to death in Saturday's stadium disaster in Indonesia. And a former Pentagon advisor has pointed the finger at Washington and London for blowing holes in Russia's Nord Stream pipelines.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
And my semi-regular host, co-host, is Omar Khan. Now, the destruction of the pipeline was clearly not carried out by Russia, even though the Western media jumped on the bandwagon. I myself and George Eliason believe it probably was Germany, but no one believes it. In fact, the German population overwhelmingly opposes any war with Russia and rejects the idea that the Russians are responsible for the pipeline. I'll play this clip.
Well, to help answer that question, let's ask Colonel Doug McGregor, a retired U.S. Army colonel, and he joins us now. Colonel, great to see you this evening. Just a whirlwind, whiplash of news today when it comes to Russia and Ukraine. What should we make of it?
Well, not quite what Senator Graham had to say, or for that matter, President Biden. The destruction of the pipeline was clearly not executed by Russia. No one believes that. In fact, the German population is being polled and overwhelmingly is opposed to the notion of any war with Russia and dismisses out of hand the notion that the Russians are responsible for the pipeline. I think three things are what we're dealing with right now. First of all, Putin has decided that no one in Washington will negotiate with him, and he knows that Washington is ultimately in control. And so he's decided that in response, he's got to escalate the military operation. People aren't aware of it in the West, but the Russian forces in Ukraine have always been outnumbered from the day they entered Ukraine. That's going to change rather dramatically, and I suspect the bombers that she referred to, who carry both conventional or nuclear weapons, will have conventional arms, and those bombers are probably going to be used in the escalation that we're about to witness in Ukraine. And I think he's going to settle this dispute in Ukraine on terms that are acceptable to Russia that we may not like. But other than Poland, no one in NATO is interested in going to war with Russia. If we persist on this line, we will see NATO dissolve and fragment.
Because they will assume, you're saying they will not follow Poland's lead, not stand together. I assume that's what you're saying, Colonel?
Of course, absolutely. No one wants to go to war with Russia other than the Poles and a few people in Washington, D.C.
Well, that will be the key. That will be the key, whether or not, if the world will not follow the Poland into war with Russia, will, in fact, the leaders of the United States of America push the world into war with Russia? Colonel Doug McGregor, always great to hear from you. Thank you so much.
So there you are, Omar. We have a fair bit of common sense coming from there, but at the moment, not a lot of common sense coming from those that are leading these particular countries and a part of NATO.
Yeah.
Where do you think it'll go? What's going to happen?
Well, you see, and then the thing is, now that nobody believes Russia has done it, then the question is, who done it?
Germany.
Well, Germany is one candidate, but Jeffrey Sachs, from Columbia University on Bloomberg TV said it was the U.S. And they freaked out. They didn't expect him on U.S. TV, Bloomberg, to say that the U.S. did it. And he said, well, I bet it was U.S. action, perhaps U.S. and Poland. That's speculation. He says, even reporters on your papers that are involved tell me, of course, the U.S. did it. But it doesn't show up. It doesn't show up in your media. So, you know, it's interesting that, you know, when the pendulum swings from Germany to people in the U.S. saying the U.S., when he was pushed, he said, what evidence do you have? He said there's direct, and I'm quoting here, direct radar evidence that U.S. military helicopters that are normally based in Gdansk were circling over this area. We had a remarkable statement from Secretary Blinken last Friday when he said this is a tremendous opportunity. A strange way to talk if you're worried about piracy on international infrastructure of vital significance. Mm. So, you know, again, that's not maybe definitive, but I think what he's saying is that where there's smoke sometimes, there's certainly fire. And, you know, maybe it was a collusion. Who knows?
I thought it was interesting, I think that day or, you know, within 24 hours, a lot of media reports, CNBC and BBC and all those. By the way, we've got this new pipeline that's being built from Norway to wherever. Shop with us. Don't go with those terrible Ruskies because their pipelines aren't that safe. So it wasn't Russia. But the question is, do you think, because Russia had some bargaining power with Europe because of its pipeline, Nord Stream 2, take that away, you also push further back into, you know, the unthinkable that Russia also, because you only want one country to fire a, no matter how big the nuke is, they're going to just, even a little one that just, you know, kills a couple of million people. What if they fire one? You can say that the world has finished because the generals and stuff in the US, then you got, you know, throughout Europe, the NATO, and then you got even got China. They will want to be part of this before they just become a microwave. If they all fire their missiles and you got something like 15,000 in the air, we're gone, aren't we? We're just no matter the deepest bunker in the world won't save you.
Yeah, no, that's true, and that's, I mean, the only people who might survive, you know, might be St. Vincent and the Grenadines or, you know, somewhere up in Greenland or something. So, you know, the fact is too much can go wrong. And then one follows another. Mm. And this, all these people who think they control everything. Mm. When, if anything, COVID proved you don't control shit. And now we're learning we don't control the economy. And now we're learning we don't control how education works. And, you know, it's really funny that if you show Andrew Devine, I don't know how to pronounce his name, had a curious piece saying that little did I know, but I've become a far-right extremist. And his point was not that he's changed any of his opinions. It's just that holding those opinions now makes you a far-right extremist, for example. if you think children should, that children do well with biological parents, that's hate. That immigration should have some regulation and resource constraints should be factored in. You're far right, extremist. That maybe Western civilization got a few things right where it comes to individual liberty and civil liberties, where maybe by bringing Christianity to Africa, at least the murders of babies motivated by superstition, that went down. Oh, no, my God, this is terrible. If you hold any of these views, if you think lockdown should not have just stripped us of our liberties, if you believe that, you know, Israel and Palestine, they can both coexist, but just bombing, you know, Tel Aviv on a daily basis is not a good thing, nor indeed is attacking refugee camps. No, you're either an anti-Semite or you're a far-right extremist, and on and on and on and on. By the way, even exercise, did you know that?
What's that?
The Guardian columnist Zoe Williams says that what is it that just enjoying exercise, what does that do in promoting socially conservative views? So you become a white supremacist if you, you know, dance too much to your soul and jazz CD collection, I guess. It's just gotten ridiculous. So it's now, you cannot have a discussion on the Ukraine, on interest rates, on any of this, because you're too busy being branded. And once you're branded, nobody has to listen to you.
Yeah, I go to the gym. Some say I should ask for my money back. And I'm still to decide whether that's a helpful hint or just a downright insult. But I'm not a white supremacist. I just like to keep fit, look trim and taut, or hope to look trim and taut. But getting back to a serious thing before we get to a commercial break, I just want to ask you, now, sure, the majority of Germans don't want a conflict or a war with Russia. And I would imagine in the States, most Americans wouldn't want a war with Russia. No one wants a war. Do you think that makes any difference to the end result?
It would if we did three things which we don't do. One, if we, the citizenry, thought it was our moral duty to educate ourselves. Thomas Jefferson once said, democracy will fail without an educated electorate. But we think we just should be dumb and dumber and just count on the fact that whoever we elect is going to look after us. Secondly, if the people who we did elect had real debates, you know, as when the Cuban Missile Crisis was going on, there were real debates in the town square. And number three, if that then translated into guidance, whereas what we're doing right now is we set the policy and then look for evidence to justify it and then scamper to make it less of a disaster than it might be. And so the disasters keep escalating. The only way out, again, is at the ballot box, if we can be awake enough.
Or if there's an election before, it's too late. My guest is, my regular guest, co-host is Omar Khan. This is TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
I think it only appropriate to take a day off politics to wish Floridians, who are facing the onslaught of Hurricane Ian, all the best. I have friends in both Punta Gorda and Port Charlotte, where the eye made landfall. They took a punch to the face, but they're still standing strong. And so will the rest of Florida. But you know who's not taking a day off politics? That's right, Democrat politicians who are using Ian, which, by the way, since it's the first major storm of the season and it's late September, means that we've had an incredibly mild hurricane season. Now, they're using this storm as proof that we need to pass their climate change legislation so that storms like this can never happen again. What hubris. And if their Inflation Reduction Act couldn't even begin to address inflation, what kind of moron would think that their climate change legislation could begin to control the weather. It's not about climate change. It's a power grab, and we need to call them out on it every single time they say it. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative, this is Viewpoint.
Who is Klaus Schwab, and what is the World Economic Forum which he leads? Just quoting Klaus Schwab is alarming enough. If he and his billionaire friends achieve their Great Reset, tyranny would be the new world order. Born in Ravensburg, Germany in 1938, Klaus Schwab is a child of Adolf Hitler's Third Reich, a political state regime built on fear and violence, on brainwashing and control, on propaganda and lies. While the Nazis desired a new order for Germany that would last 1,000 years, Klaus Schwab's vision extends globally and would potentially be unstoppable were nations to relinquish all sovereignty and adopt the neurotechnologies and biotechnologies which forces us, in the words of Klaus Schwab, to question what it means to be human.
Democracy is under attack. The Australian government wants to control free speech and the internet with the Australian Code of Practice on Disinformation and Misinformation. Disagree with what government is saying and you'll be shut down and could face severe penalties. To find out more, go to digi.org.au. Lighting the fuse for freedom. This is TNT Radio.
And my guest is Omar Khan, the wise one. Is that right, Omar, or is that just a lie that I've been spreading?
Well, you know, they say in the country of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. So in that way, I think the threshold of wisdom has been reset the to our advantage. One.
I should have some music for the wise one. Hey, what about this? I've got to read this to you. Now, the Queensland state government has announced plans to build Australia's largest state-owned wind farm in the South Burnett region. Now, it's going to cost just about $750 million. I'll play you this story and we'll come back to you.
Queensland is set to become home to Australia's largest publicly owned wind farm. The Premier unveiling the plan days out from a major climate and energy announcement.
Sky high.
And the new one's going to be 150, 100% owned.
30 kilometres from Kingaroy.
You could call this a field of dreams.
A dream still years away.
I think we should have viewing platforms for families to come out here.
The Coopers Gap Wind Farm, a sign of what's to come. The government announcing $776 million for the new project. Located at Iron Pot, the Tarong West Wind Farm will include 150 turbines, generating 500 megawatts, enough to power 230,000 homes. Final approval is expected in 2 years before opening in 2026.
And most importantly, it'll be owned by Queenslanders.
Built by the Stanwell Corporation, making it the largest publicly owned wind farm in Australia.
There are going to be jobs, jobs and more jobs.
200 during construction, 15 once it's operating, aimed at bringing downward pressure on power prices too.
Queensland has coal, it has gas and it has renewables. But what we are seeing now is a massive investment into renewable energy.
The government also has a new energy plan in the works, but the details won't be released until Wednesday when the Premier delivers her State of the State address.
It's tune in.
Tight-lipped until then. Marlena Wobb, 7 News.
Can you take her? I mean, Queen Anastasia, but I like this part.
Honestly, I think we should have viewing platforms for families to come out here and actually see what is in their own backyard.
That's right. So forget the beaches, forget our theme parks, forget the beautiful galleries. You tell the family that we're going to go to, Iron Pot.
Yeah.
And have a look at these atrocious wind farms. And by the way, that's when they're finished, Queensland will have no energy.
Right. I mean, so we don't need opera houses. We don't need theaters. We don't need diversity, music. But we just want to see our future go up in flames. Mm. So we can go and see this crap. And, you know, just it's also quite funny in that when you look at the news elsewhere, and they hope, they really, really hope you don't, you know, they find that, you know, you have the ice replenishing itself in places where they said it was melting. Mm. Greenland ice sheet recovers. Here it is. As scientists say, earlier loss was due to natural warming, not CO2. So, you know, we're going to get all this news long after we pulled the plug on life as we know it, and then say, what the hell did we do? And that is going to be the postscript of the upcoming era. It's going to be, what the hell did we do?
You know, it's interesting. I'm just thinking about the Queensland wind farms near Iron Pot, which is near Kingaroy. Now, Kingaroy is famous for peanuts. So yeah. It's almost like an April Fool's Day joke or announcement. And you think it's an April Fool's Day joke. Here we are putting up these wind farms in a place where peanuts are growing. Do you think peanuts are a problem with government at the moment because they seem to have infiltrated the ranks of human beings, and now we have peanuts making peanut decisions?
Yeah, well, I mean, we have people of addled wits.
What was that again? Hang on, what was that?
Addled wits.
Addled wits.
Addled, A-D-D-L-E-D.
Oh, I like that. You're very
addled
good
wits,
on the ball.
Defunct thinking apparatus, and there's no point insulting the peanut. Which can be
a defunct thinking apparatus. I like that. You're on good form, by the way. Well done. Bravo.
But, you know, you don't want to insult the poor peanut because it's done nothing to us. And actually, at least gives us good energy and can be succulent in the right form.
Succulent
unlike
peanut.
Unlike these, you know, bloviators in office that you were talking about.
Mm.
But really, I mean, what I said about Greenland might be something the Australians might want to look towards, because it's they say the recovery of the Arctic summer sea ice has been spectacular of late. You know, and that's just what we wanted to hear, right? I mean, just at this moment where all this net zero shit has been running amok, and just to say that we want to be more renewable. Well, maybe we do, as long as you get energy out of it. If you don't get energy out of it, you could renew yourself by just planting yourself in a compost heap.
Mm-mm. Well, that's what they could do. Queen Anastasia, go and plant yourself on a compost heap. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, that would improve the quality of leadership there for sure.
Mm. It's actually a, but it's a, you know, we may laugh about it, but they're ploughing ahead with their transform Australia into a barren wasteland of windmills and solar farms. But the problem is, if they do put up all these windmills to generate the power to power 230,000 homes or whatever they're saying, one, it will kill the wildlife. Anything that flies there will be chopped into little bits. But the other thing is, to actually get the power, though, to those homes, the power lines they have at the moment, that's the big ones and the little ones in the street and stuff, you've got to replace those because they're for high-density energy, not for low-density as the wind turbines, you know, provide. What do you think they'll have to do, though? The way around it is put transformers, and so you have every power pole, you have, you know, three or four extra ones there with a transformer that will pull that power along. But if you don't, so you're going to have either this huge picket fence outside your house, or they're going to rip down all the power lines to make sure it can transfer the energy, the low density energy, along from A to B to C to D. Do you think that's possible?
No, I mean, I don't. But, I think you guys have just had such a weird week, right, on the energy front.
Mm.
I mean, and it's not just Anastasia. I mean, you know, you got Victoria, I think, has set a state battery target of 6,300
MW.
Mm. And they said that they're going to close 7,000 MW of coal. And they're going to have large-scale wind and solar. And you just ask yourself, who's doing the math here?
Mm.
Thousands of jobs will be affected. Millions will pay twice for electricity, once through their taxes, again through their bill.
Mm.
And then as for Anastasia, the new dam, the Pioneer Valley, she wants to supply half of the energy needs. And that's a real news for all those poor saps who rely on the water supply for industry irrigation and drinking water. So it's just simple math, right? And I mean, just to be boring for just a second, half the state's annual electricity demand, your state, is 30 million megawatt hours. After converting to an hourly input, you'd need hydropower station with over 8,000 MW capacity. That's double the existing Snowy scheme. So if the project utilizes similar turbines to those that you've used in Snowy 2, you'd need 17 units. That would be the eighth largest hydropower station on the planet. All the others in small countries like China and Brazil.
But a great theme park. And Anastasia, as she says,
honestly, I think we should have viewing platforms for families to come out here and actually see what is in their own backyard.
Yeah, well, if they went to see what was in the backyard, they'd probably move to another state or another country. Omar Khan, always a pleasure. Great chatting with you this time. And we'll do it again next week with your magnificent little quips. Coming up next, speaking of magnificence, we have Jason Q. Citizen. It's always great to be alive with Jason Q. Citizen. This is TNT Radio. Goodbye. I will see you tomorrow.